The 10th parak of Maseilas Yesharim, Beveor Midas HaNekius, to clarify the trait of Nekius. Midas HaNekius, Hi Hayois HaAdam Naki LeGamri, Mikol Mida Ra'a Mikol Chet. Nekius is when a person is totally free of any bad characteristic, of any chet. Lo Dai Mimash HaChet Bo Meforsim, because not only those sins that are pretty obvious and well known, even those things that people are convinced that it must be okay. But if you investigate it properly, you'll see truthfully there really was no reason to be lenient. But because the person has a leaning towards this, he's nogeya bedavar. He can't think straight about it. It's irrelevant to him, and he has desires for this thing. He's not entirely pure of it. So he's drawn after that. But the person who's totally pure from this affliction, and is free from any trace of evil that would leave a lingering for this desire, his vision is perfectly clear. Vavchanoso zaka, and his ability to discern is pure. And he won't be driven to make decisions based on desire. If it's something wrong, even the lightest of sins, he'll recognize it for what it is, that it's wrong, and stay away from it. Until now, we're talking about zehirus and zerizus. We're talking about how to focus on our activities, how to think about the things we do, our behavior, our paths, are we doing the right thing, not doing the right thing. And he breaks it up between staying away from the bad, the zehirus, and the positive, the zerizus. That's all introduction to get to Nekius. The Naki, in our language, would be a tzaddik. Nekius is tzidkus. The person who never does anything wrong. I mean, that's what's the definition of a tzaddik. The person who doesn't do anything wrong. He does everything right. Everything. Not just the big things, even the little things. That's what he's describing. The Ramchal's level that he calls Naki or Nekius is essentially tzaddik. So Zehirus and Zerizus are the steps a person has to go through to achieve the Madrega of Naki. That's the next level, is Naki. And the Naki of the Ramchal is clearly, this is the tzaddik, the person who will not do any chatoim at all, whatsoever. He is not driven by impulse. He is not under the sway of his desires. He does use a double language, I don't know if you picked up on. He starts off with taiva and goes on to chemda. And we learn that those terms, taiva and chemda, even though they sound the same, in fact, in the Chumash, you have lo sachmod and lo sisave together. So we often explain that taiva, the term taiva, is reserved for physical pleasures, and chemda has to do with financial things, money. So whether a person is inclined to be lenient because of physical considerations, or if a person is inclined to be lenient because of financial considerations, so that's not a naki. The person who's naki does what he has to do with disregard to physical aspects and with disregard to financial aspects. There's no taiva, there's no chemda. If it's a chet, it's a chet. That's it. He understands it, recognizes it, and stays away from it. The Ramchal continues, V'chaloshna za'om ha'chacham. The Chacham used the following language, Al hashlemim hametarma asem tahar rabal, for those people who have reached a level of perfection where their deeds are exceedingly pure. Shlo yebehem afilu nidnu davara, there's not even a trace of anything bad. They are called Nikiyei Hadas Sheb Yushalayim. The people of Yushalayim who are in this madrega were called Nikiyei Hadas. So you see Chazal invoke the term Naki, of clean, Nikiyei Hadas, when they are trying to describe tzaddikim. V'incha ro'eh, You see, Atanel, Hehefresh ben Azoher v'Naki, the difference between someone who is Zohir and someone who is Naki. Afal pi shekrov mehim zeh lezeh binyanam, even though they're really pretty close to each other in their essence. Hazor hu hanizor b'ma'asav, the Zohir is the person who's very careful with his actions. V'roesh lo yechtav meshek v'anod lo mefursim etzal kol hioschet. And he's very careful to stay away from things that everyone knows you should stay away from. The things that everyone knows and everyone is aware is a chet, the Zohir watches out for. But he's not master over himself to the degree that he isn't pulled or drawn after natural desires. He's not free of his will inclining him and showing him various leniencies. Based on in certain areas, that's not so clearly a problem in the first place. So the Zohir is not yet Naki. Because even though the Zohir is trying very hard to conquer his Yetzirah, for the Chbosis Taiva self, he really wants to control his Taiva. But it's not going to change his whole characteristic. It's not like he can remove from his heart his physical desires. He holds it down or controls it. He follows his intellect and not his desire. But there's no question, the physical components put up a fight and try to convince him otherwise. When a person makes it a habit to be Zohir, until he becomes clean, an initial cleansing from those obvious sins. He makes it a habit to be busy with Avodas Hashem. He does Zerizus, proactive. He has an increased sense of Avas Hashem. And his yearning is towards Hashem. So this habit of being Zohir and doing the Ratzon Hashem will help distance him from the physical components, and his mind will cling to the shlemus of his soul, until ultimately he will reach the level of a complete nikayim. Essentially, he will replace the taiva for physical with a taiva for Hashem, a chemda for Hashem. At that point, his vision will be clear, as I wrote above. He will not be convinced and not be overcome with his physical wills. He will make sure his deeds are perfectly free of anything wrong. This trait is something that David felt he had achieved. And he writes with a degree of simcha, Marachal says, Erchatz binikoyon kapoy vasoiva es misbacha Hashem. I will wash with Nikoyon my hands and go around your Mizbeach Hashem. He identifies himself as being Noki. Because only a person who truly cleanses himself from any trace of sin, he's the one who's fit to approach the Mizbeach. He's the one who's fit to appear before the Melech Hashem. Because otherwise, he really has nothing more than to be embarrassed and ashamed of himself. K'mamer Ezra HaSofer, like Ezra HaSofer said, Elokai boishti v'nechlamti l'horm elokai pani alecha, v'yibayin shum, I'm embarrassed and ashamed to lift my face up to you. V'nevada ki melocha rabba hi lo'odom l'agiyel shlemos amida zos. It is definitely a very great effort for a person to achieve perfection of this midah. Because the obvious sins are pretty easy to stay away from. Kivin Shorasim Gluya, since it's well known to everyone that these are bad things. Achadikta Kazeha Mitzarech L'Nakiyas, but if you're going to be particular and careful when it comes to Binaki, Huakashu Yos, that's much more difficult. Kiyarasa Het Mechas Alachet, because we are inclined to find Heterim and cover over the possibility of sin, K'moshu Kasavti, as I wrote before. Huki'inin Mash'ama Zichon Vacha. This is what Chazal say. Those sins that people trample underfoot are the ones that surround them at the time of judgment. And this way, most people will be found guilty of stealing at one point or another in their lives. Few of them will be guilty of arayas. For kulam, but all of them, avak lashon hara, will be guilty of the traces of lashon hara. Because it is so subtle, everyone ends up stumbling. They don't realize that it's in fact avak lashon hara. Was very careful and cleansed himself from all of these. So he would go to battle thoroughly secure. He would say, I would go out and chase my enemies, I'll overcome them, I will not return until they're destroyed. This is not what subsequent Melech Yehuda didn't ask for such things. The Fishlo Hayimanukin Kukak was they were not in such a level of purity. Humasha Amr, who asked Mr. Tavar, this is what he said, Hashem should repay me according to my righteousness, to the cleanliness of my hands, he'll return to me. For Amaoid, he says further, that Hashem will give me back like my righteousness, like the cleanliness of my hands. This refers to the cleanliness that we are describing. Then he says, that I'll send my soldiers out, I'll overcome my enemies and conquer them. He says further, who can go up in the mountain of Hashem? Who can go up in his holy place? Again, this idea of the cleanliness and the kius. There's no question, absolutely, this is difficult. People's natures are weak and they're easily convinced. And they will always find leniencies for themselves when there's room to make the mistake. Certainly one who reached this level has reached a very high level. He stood up to a very difficult battle and he vanquished the enemy. Now we'll explain the details of the Midah. So in clarifying what is Nakias, So the Ramchal tells us the Naki is, like I've said before, he doesn't use the word Tzaddik. We use the word Tzaddik. The Naki is who we call a Tzaddik. The Naki is the person who does everything right, always. He's the one who is not convinced to do things they shouldn't be doing. And it's not just the obvious things, that's the Zohar. The Zohar takes care of the obvious. The Zahirus and Zerizus takes care of the obvious things. The Naki gets into the nuts and bolts and the nitty-gritty and the fine, fine details that not everyone is capable of, or not capable, not everyone is ready to embrace, because it's much harder. And you can come up with all kinds of leniencies, because it's not obviously wrong. And that's where the Naki stands above everyone else. So again, this is the Madrega that we would call this person the Tzaddik, and it's a very high Madrega. Fascinatingly, in the Sefer, the Ramchal is following the Brisa, Zahirus, Zerizus, Nikius, it's only the third rung of this ladder. There are many more levels that come after this. Precious, Tahara, Chasidus are all beyond Nikius. Naki is Tzaddik. And another point, I don't know if it comes over the way he describes it. Nikius is not optional. Zahirus, Zerizus, and Nikias are obligations. This is what's expected of us. This is what we are required to pursue and achieve. We're not going to say everyone has to move on to Prishus and to Hara and Chasidus. That's beyond Tzidkus. We all have to be Tzaddikim. Every one of us. It's not good enough to go through life being a Zohir. And that's what he says. L'yom Hadin, all the Averis or Adam Dosh Bakovav are going to come and demand, what do you do? You ignored me. You trampled over me. You didn't pay attention to me. A Naki is really what's expected of us. We are supposed to achieve this level. It's a difficult level. It's a big avoida. It's a hard avoida. It's a mechama. And someone who reaches this level has fought the battle of mechama chazaka v'nitzach. But that is what we're here for. The kios is what's expected of us. You want to go beyond the kios? All right, that's already a new world. To get into Prishus and Hasidus, that's beyond tzaddik. But tzaddik is expected. And again, I repeat, this is something that we sometimes read books about great people and we refer to them as great tzaddikim, when in fact they were chasidim or prushim. They're beyond naki. They were beyond this level. And this is what the author of the biography, Barry Levine, says. I don't believe there are 36 tzaddikim like a Barry Levine. There's supposed to be 36 tzaddikim in every generation. There's no 36 of Barry Levines. The answer is Barry Levine wasn't a tzaddik. He was beyond tzaddik. He was chassid. He was parish. He was beyond this level. There are 36 tzaddikim, at least. But prushim, chassidim, that's beyond. It doesn't say anywhere there's going to be 36 people like that around. So a lot of what we read about and learn about, these people are beyond this level. But ultimately, this is really expected of all of us. We can't tell, you don't have to do all the mitzvahs. You can do some averus, because since not everyone knows about it, it's okay. It's not okay. That's not the attitude. Really, Nikias is expected of all of us, but it takes a lot of effort. And to work to achieve Nikias, you have to first go through the earlier levels of Zahirus and Zerizus. It makes no sense to be very careful about all the details of one thing and ignore the main things in other areas. You got to first take care of all the obvious things, the things that everyone knows is wrong, to stay away from that, the things that everyone knows you're supposed to do, you should do. And then after that, we can start working on the more finer points and making sure we're getting all the details right as well. But ultimately, that is what we're expected to do. These are, again, like I said, it's not optional to be a Naki. It's not optional to be a Tzaddik. That is what we are supposed to be doing. There is a discussion whether or not it's better for a person to have a challenge and overcome the challenge, or not to even have the challenge in the first place. What I mean is, he keeps describing this person who is dealing with his chemda, he's dealing with his taiva, and it's a battle. It's a battle, but he has to control it. He has to use his intellect to overcome. And eventually, if he makes it a habit of doing the right thing, eventually it won't be such a struggle afterwards anymore. Is it a higher madrega for the person to have the nisayon and overcome the nisayon and do the right thing? Or for some people, it's not even a nisayon at all. It's just pashut for them. I think this gets into the terminology we use today of Nekudas HaBechira. For different people, different things are challenges for them. They have different Nekudas HaBechira. So how do you gauge that? The Pasuk says, Or Zeruah LeTzadik UleYishrei Leiv Simcha. Or Zeruah for the Tzadik UleYishrei Leiv Simcha. Yishrei Leiv is a level called Yashar. There's tzaddik and there's yasha. Or zeruah latzaddik. Well, yishrei leiv simcha. So there are those who want to explain that tzaddik refers to the person who struggles. The tzaddik struggles and he does what he's supposed to do. He does the right thing. That's the tzaddik. It's hard. It's a machama, like the Ramchal describes, and he overcomes. That's a tzaddik. The Yashar, on the other hand, For him, it's not a struggle anymore. He is so comfortable in his level, it's not a struggle. It's pashut for him. It doesn't become a struggle anymore for him. Now, maybe it once was a struggle, but not anymore. Or Zerul Tzaddik, the Tzaddik who still struggles and does the right thing. But it's a struggle. For him, we say Or. But there's no Simcha yet. The Yishrei Leif Simcha. Simcha comes when it's no longer a struggle. It's no longer a struggle. Now, there may be a sense of accomplishment when you overcome and you do the right thing despite the battles. But the way they explain this pasuk, Simcha is designated for the Yashar. Now, I think this lends itself to explain or understand that Yashar is a higher madriga. It's one thing to have the battle, it's a higher madriga or not. And I think Tomchal is saying it too. Tomchal is saying the Zohir has these challenges and eventually you become Naki, and eventually you'll be a Naki without the challenge. It'll be easy to do. How does that work with Lefum Tzara Agra? Isn't there more sechar when things are more difficult? If I do the right thing and it's hard for me to do it, don't I get more sechar than if I do the right thing and it's easy for me to do it? So it would appear that the one who has more challenges and overcomes gets more sechar than the one who does not. And if that is correct, there's a problem. The problem is, why am I being penalized if I did the right thing so many times that it became easy for me? The Zohir has to work very hard that his seichel overrides his taiv and his chemda. Eventually, he becomes rogil b'kach and becomes easier. So he starts off as a tzaddik, ends up being a yasha. Both, I would call a naki. Just one is struggling and one is beyond the struggle. Who gets more schar? When he does the mitzvah and it's hard to do, or he stays away from the aver and it's hard to stay away, he definitely gets schar for the effort he's putting into it. Later on, he doesn't have the same degree of effort. So I saw this question. Elyonabiyani asked this question. Someone who later in life decides to start keeping Shabbos. It's very hard to start keeping Shabbos. They weren't brought up with it. It's very difficult. They get gevaldik schar. 10 years later, keeping Shabbos is like anyone else. Not a big deal. You keep Shabbos. You know exactly what to do. You make all the preparations. They figured out how to keep their job and keep Shabbos and early Fridays in the winter. Everything works out fine. So now they don't get the schar that they had before. So the Yerapilan says an unbelievable thing. And I'm pretty sure he's quoting, it may have been the Altar from Kelm. Avram Avinu was concerned that his schar may be diminished after the Melchama with the kings. And Hashem says, don't worry, your schar, you have your schar. So the Yerapilan says that a person could think that you only get great schar when you start off doing something right and it's hard to do it. But then later, when it gets easy, you won't get the same schar. Hashem is telling Avraham Avinu it's not that way. The same level of schar that you're going to get for the first time you overcame, when it was the most difficult, and you overcame and did what you had to do, and it was very hard, and you're getting tremendous schar for that, that becomes the benchmark for every time you do it again. From that time on, as it gets easier and easier and easier, you still accrue the exact same schar as the first time when it was not easy.
Let's say it was never a challenge. That's the big thing.
Then you're right. It was never a challenge. Then again, the level of schar from Sara Agra tells us that's the level of schar he'll get, according to the effort that he puts into it. But the person who did not have it easy, and then eventually it became easy, does not lose out. The person who went from tzaddik to yashar, the the person who had great challenges and eventually time and time again did the right thing until it became second nature, until now he does it without any challenge. So now he's considered Yosher, Yushalev Simcha. When he does those mitzvahs again and again and again, he'll still get the same sechar based on the degree of difficulty the very first time when he embraced it. So that's a yisoid. That's a chashuv yisoid that Bayal HaPiyam brings. And therefore, there is no diminution of reward, even as it gets easier later on, which is an important yisoid, because not only does it explain the balance of schar for the person who struggles and then it becomes easier, that he's not losing out, but explains something else too. Chazal tell us that when Mashiach comes, we're not going to have the same challenges we have now. So a person has to chaperai and do as many mitzvahs now as possible, because now we have a true challenge, now we have a true bechira, and when we do things right, we'll get schar for it. But when Mashiach is here and everyone does the right thing, so like, what's the big deal? Like, everyone's doing the right thing. It's obvious. Your bechira has been diminished, or your nekudas bechira has changed, however language you choose. And there really will not be any great schar for the mitzvahs you do when Mashiach comes. So if Eliyahu Lapin says, what does that mean? We're not getting schar for mitzvahs when Mashiach comes? That doesn't make sense. You have mitzvahs to get schar. What it means is, the challenge you had to do the mitzvahs before Mashiach came determines the schar you're going to get when Mashiach comes. But the person who didn't do the mitzvahs before Mashiach came, and now that Mashiach is here, oh, this makes so much sense, now I'll do it, they're not going to get the schar, because they never did it when it was a real challenge. If you only do it when Mashiach comes, and it's no challenge, so what kind of schar is that? The Gemara calls it the Yom She'eini Behem Chefetz. Hashem is not interested. Like, what kind of mitzvahs are you doing with Mashiach? You're obvious. Like, duh. Of course everyone's doing mitzvahs now. You can't expect to get schar now. So why does anyone have mitzvahs? So says the Bayal Biyam, the same concept. That since we go through difficulties to do mitzvahs in the world we live in, we live among Goyim, its own set of challenges, and dealing with our own internal chemda, taiva, all these things, so now is the time, Hayom La'asay, so now is the time to be involved and do the mitzvahs, and we should continue to do the mitzvahs, and we should see Mashiach soon, and then all of a sudden it'll be so much easier to do. But we're not going to lose any schar. We'll keep doing the mitzvahs, and we'll get the same schar we got before Mashiach came. Because just because it comes easy later on, we're not penalized, if you will. There's no diminution of our schar once it becomes easy, if you were doing it when it was hard. And that's essentially our avodah now. The avodah before Mashiach is that we should be doing everything right now so that when Mashiach comes, we'll still be earning schar for the mitzvahs when Mashiach comes. And the person who didn't, so he didn't. He'll do the mitzvahs then. He should do the mitzvahs then. But he's not going to have much of a challenge. It won't be very difficult. And the schar will be appropriate to that. The Ramchal uses David HaMelech as his example of the Naki. And he quotes many of the Sukkim from Tehillim. How David HaMelech describes that he has cleansed himself. He has achieved this level of Tzidkus. He is not motivated by personal whim and desires, but he is in charge of his fate, so to speak. He can approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a clear conscience that he's done everything he's supposed to do. It's very likely David HaMelech surpassed the level of tzaddik. But the psukim that we're describing, the psukim that he's saying about himself, are at that level. He's describing this concept of nekiyus, this concept of being free of chet, not feeling guilty about anything that in the Kikapayim, Balevov, that he can go that way because he's not concerned with his actions, he knows he does everything correctly, and that is the definition we're using, the definition of tzaddik. The chassid is the person who goes beyond the letter of the law. Those are higher levels. People who do beyond what you have to do. To do what you have to do, that's tzaddik. We all have to be tzaddik. We all have to be naki. There are levels beyond that. The precious chassidus, things like that. Those are levels that not everyone achieves, not everyone is expected to achieve. But the examples that we're using here are the basic, if you could call such a thing, the basic tzaddik, where I do it, everything I'm supposed to do, I do it the way it's supposed to be done, and I do it correctly. We know, when we learn about David HaMelech, there is one place where there seems to be a falling off the wagon, if you will, with the episode of David and Bathsheba. So we find in that incident that he does something he should not have done. The psukim that Amchal quotes are from Kapitel Yudches, Kapitel Chav Dalet. These are early on in Sefer Tehillim. We know that after the Maaseh Bathsheba, David HaMelech does tshuva. And there's a kapitel in Tehillim dedicated to tshuva. I believe it's kapitel Nun Aleph. And it's the kapitel of tshuva. And it talks about the tshuva process. And I think it's important to understand that the Naki, who's the tzaddik, who does everything the way he's supposed to, doesn't mean that he'll never slip up. As the Pasuk says, Ein tzaddik b'arash yasto v'le'echata. There is no such thing as a tzaddik that will never sin. But he's still a tzaddik. Why is he still a tzaddik if he did something wrong? He's still a tzaddik because that's tshuva right away. The Gemara says, you don't have to be afraid about the tzaddik that he's going to let his sin linger. He will do tshuva that night. He's not waiting until tomorrow. David HaMelech didn't wait to do tshuva for the mice with Bathsheba. He did tshuva immediately. When the Navi came to him and told him that he did something wrong, he immediately said chotasi. He immediately said vidur. He immediately accepted that he did something wrong and did tshuva for it. He did tshuva for what he did. The tzaddik isn't beyond chet. And this is what the pasuk says, sheva yipa tzaddik v'kam. The tzaddik will fall seven times, but he gets up every single time. And I'm sure many of you are familiar with this famous letter, that he was upset with the biographies of Gedolim and Tzaddikim that portray the great people as people who never ever did something wrong in their life, and from the time they were very young were malachim. It happens to be, I believe there are people like that. There are some real big tzaddikim who, from the time they were very young, were like malachim. They really are. But they're special. Those are really special people. They're not your everyday tzaddik, if you could say such a thing. There are tzaddikim who are not born malachim. And they are tzaddikim. They really are. And they're not angels. And they have struggles. And the Rav Huttner was saying, Klai Yisrael would benefit much more if you would describe the struggles of these people and how they overcame their struggles. The Sheva Yipul Tzaddik V'Kam, how they fell down and got back up, and they fell down and got back up, and they fell down and got back up, time after time after time. That's the Tzaddik. Sheva Yipul Tzaddik V'Kam. The Tzaddik gets up. So it's not an all or nothing deal that this is what's expected of you, this you have to be, and if not, you're doomed. The Tzaddik can, on occasion, do something you're not supposed to do. And that's David HaMelech. And in fact, the Gemara says, very explicitly, that it was totally irrational and illogical for David to ever sin with Bathsheba. It makes no sense whatsoever. And again, in today's language, I would say, it was not within his Nekudas HaBechira. It made no sense. It was not within the realm of his Bechira to sin with Bathsheba. And the Gemara says it straight out. David was not ra'ui for that chet. So why did it happen? Why did Hashem let it happen? Because he wanted Klal Yisrael to learn there's a thing called tshuva. So the Gemara says that it was to teach Klal Yisrael tshuva. It says there are two things. The Gemara in the Avodah Zarah says there are two chatoyim that never should have happened. The chet ha'ego makes no sense whatsoever. The chet ha'ego and the chet of David Bathsheba. How could the chet ha'ego happen? It's less than 2 months from Maamar Har Sinai. How could they possibly make an ego? So we have all the terutzim, Erev Rav, everything else. It makes no sense. Says the Gemara, It doesn't make sense. It was not within the normal realm of their bechira to make an egel. But Hashem made it within the realm of their bechira in order to teach Klai Yisrael to do tshuva. And the second was David HaMelech and Batsheva to teach tshuva again. So the Gemara says, we need both because David HaMelech is teaching an individual, a yachid, that you can do tshuva after chet. Chet HaEgel is teaching Klai Yisrael, that Klai Yisrael can do tshuva after chet also. There's a communal chet, and there's an individual personal chet. Tshuva works for both. There's tshuva for the Klai Yisrael chet, and there's tshuva for the personal chet. And that's why the egel happened, and that's why David HaMelech happened. This doesn't mean that anyone was forced into doing something wrong. Doesn't mean that. When someone's forced into doing something, it's not wrong. Can't blame him, right? So that's what we talk about Yehuda and Tamar. Yehuda was basically forced to be with Tamar. We don't say Yehuda did anything wrong with Tamar. There are cases like that. But with David HaMelech, he was not forced into it. It just was beyond the norm of his Bechira. There's no way he would have picked to do that. Hashem made it within the realm of his Bechira. The same as the Chet HaEgel. To teach us that a tzaddik, real tzaddik, a real, real tzaddik, can sometimes do something wrong. Egg the tshuva. Egg the tshuva afterwards. And he's still a tzaddik. He's still a tzaddik. And there were people who, for the rest of David's life, after Batsheva, would say nasty things about him because of his chet. And Chazal tells they were wrong. And David bemoans to Hashem, and Hashem tells David that they're wrong. David was a tzaddik after Chet Batsheva too. He did tshuva. So the level of nekiyus or tzidkus is something that we all have to achieve. It's something that we all have to arrive at. And if someone at any point slips from this level, it doesn't mean they can't get back up there. In fact, that is the hallmark of the tzaddik. The tzaddik gets back up. He does tshuva. He does not stay down and continue a downward spiral. He does something wrong. Immediately, he addresses it and does tshuva for it and makes sure it doesn't happen again.